Good evening, Posh fans, Mansfield fans, and Backwall Pounders. It is Monday night, and there is a Tuesday kickoff tomorrow, which means one thing and one thing only. I'm joined tonight by Lods to count down to kickoff for the Mansfield game. Lods, how are you this evening?
Well, first of all, Charlie, I think that's very unfair on the blue section, who also should get a nice warm welcome to the show. I'm feeling good. You know, we had the nice 6-1 win on Saturday. We recorded that evening. I think Ashley pointed out afterwards that we're always in a good mood after a win like that. And I think we felt a bit delirious, didn't we, during recording? We had a nice little giggle. And then Sunday, Posh Women, they also won. So I'm very happy. Two wins over the weekend. I've been in a good mood all day.
Yeah, a bit of a cagey one it looked like for the women yesterday, but top of the league, still going strong, Lods.
Yeah, it's a strange one because normally it's the cagey affair for the men's and the women's is the whitewash, but it was the other way around this time. But just as entertaining as normal, it was a really good game. Probably should have been a bit more than 1-0, but 3 points is 3 points and yeah, unbeaten so far this season.
Yeah, well, without further ado, we've got an action-packed show for you tonight, as usual. So let's get our first guest in, and that is Cam from Mansfield Matters. Cam, how are you this evening?
Tired, but I'm good. Yeah, positive.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. It's been a strong season so far for Mansfield, especially of late.
I mean, to be honest, it's kind of boring at the moment being a Mansfield fan. Four draws on the spin. After five wins in all competitions on the spin, but unbeaten in 8-9, so can't complain too much. But it's getting a little bit flat at the moment, and with your guys' win on Saturday, tomorrow night it's looking a little bit.
Yeah, well, so these draws, are they really disappointing results? Should you have won the games? Like, why have you not been able to convert, you know, those 1-point games into three?
I think the only one that's in any way like could have been changed was probably the Stevenage game at the first draw in this little run that we're on, and we were 1-0 up going into the 95th minute, and then two bad officiating decisions cost us the extra 2 points, forcing a player off for a head injury, which wasn't a head injury, it was a shoulder injury, so should have stayed on the pitch. And then just missing a foul on the keeper. And it is what it is in football sometimes. But when you've got two mistakes by the officials in one sequence of play, which what affects the other, is a little bit frustrating. And the rest have just been, we've not played all that great. Lewis Reed, in the reaction to the Stevenage game, managed to get himself sent off after the full-time whistle, which then, because it was abuse of an official, he's been missing for a couple of games, and it's been frustrating, and it's been a difficult one at Plymouth, a 1-1 draw, but yeah, it's all good. But football is football. But we've not lost in a while. We've not lost since before Christmas, so we can't complain too much, really.
Yeah, I mean, controversial officiating at Stevenage sounds like, well, all Posh fans have experienced that recently too. We were also robbed of a foul on the goalkeeper and a penalty in the last minute at Stevenage. So it's, a tough place to go, I guess. The officials just love Stevenage Borough. I wanted to ask, the last two games have been probably the most boring maybe of the season for you guys, 0-0 draws. Why have the goals just dried up completely?
I don't know, to be honest. We've just lacked that final product. Funnily enough, I wasn't at either of those two games. One of them I was in Germany working, and the other one I was in Milton Keynes working. So I've missed both, but I watched them back, and I nearly fell asleep watching them on iFollow. Just watching the full replay, and it was a little bit depressing to watch, because they just, even the opposition in Wickham and Exeter, neither team really had anything about them. We had a couple of good chances, but didn't. We just lacked that clinicalness up front. And I think we've gone through spells of that this season where we've just not been able to finish things off. And hopefully we could put it behind us at some point. But it's just frustrating because we know how well we can play. And we know we can score goals, but it's, for whatever reason, it's just not working at the moment. Injuries have been an issue, but people are starting to come back now, and it's looking like a Mansfield team that can compete, and thankfully the results in the teams around us aren't too bad, and we've got a lot of games in hand over some of the teams, so they'll be crucial. And it's going to be an interesting second half of the season. Anything above finishing just above the relegation zone last season was going to be an improvement. So I think if anybody had said at the start of the season you'll be mid-table going into February, into the second week of February, I think we'd have took it, to be honest.
That's exactly what I was about to ask, Cam. What were the expectations before the start of the season? Because looking at the league table, I probably think that Mansfield are higher than what I was expecting them to be at this point.
I think it's that we scraped by last season, built on a team that were comfortable in League Two and quite clearly out of their depth in League One. And I think that came quite apparent. And I think Bradford are going through the same spell at the moment. We both had good starts. Doncaster had it this season and they felt like an absolute rock. But it's that you've got players that are good enough in League Two and you think, oh, are they going to be good enough in League One? You get a couple of good games out of them and then they just disappear. And it's frustrating because you're very much just riding on them, because at this point it was, we didn't start to go through our bad spell until after January. This is where we started to go on our bad run last year. And at that point we couldn't make changes to the team other than bringing in free agents. So it was very much we just hit a bad patch and it just didn't stop. No winning 14. We then go and win two on the spin. One against Barnsley, one against Bristol Rovers. If it wasn't for them, we'd have gone down last season, because it wasn't good enough from us. We just defensively we were shocking. Up front we were awful, and it just seems that we've got a lot of things changed this season. We've got rid of a lot of the older players, brought younger players in, brought good talent in. And this season is just consolidation. Mid-table, I think it would have been where Nigel Clough and the team would have been looking at. And I think anything more than that is just overachieving. And I think to say we've got the three games in hand over some of the teams above us, if we won all three of those, including tomorrow night, which is one of our games in hand, it'd make it interesting for the second part of this season.
Yeah, you're very much on the fringes of that playoff push, aren't you? I mean, just looking at your squad, I can't really like pick out one sort of talisman, one player that is going to, you know, be the big threat for you this season. You've got a couple of players on, you know, five or six goals, but nobody who's really scoring every week and on fire. Is that an issue for you, or are you always that sort of team that just spreads the goals around?
Yeah, we've always been a team that has spread them around. We've not, I think this is the problem with lower league football in general. We've not got the pull power to keep hold of players. You look, when we got promoted, obviously we got David Keeler done. Obviously we got promoted and then he went off to Barnsley. Now they managed to get good money from him to go to Wrexham, and it's that same thing. It's that constant feed. So you might be able to unearth a talent, have him for one season, and he's off again. We had Jamie McDonald. This is kind of a sort of like the same sort of thing. Really good defensive midfielder. He scored twice, both in the same game, but he was on loan from Nottingham Forest, and in January they recalled him and sold him to Oxford. You just can't keep hold of players, unfortunately, and so we've kind of sort of like gone with a very balanced, well-rounded team rather than relying on key individual players. So Lucas Aikens has got a couple of goals. Will Evans is on five or six. Reece Oakes has got a couple. Oliver Iroh's got a couple. Tyler Roberts has got a couple, and he's just come back from injury. So we've got players that can score, but there's nobody that's going to score 10, 15, 20 goals. And it's very rare, this division, to be able to have them long term, because unfortunately you've got Wrexhams and Huddersfields and Cardiffs and God knows who else that exist and just come and poach your players at any chance they get.
Cam, I don't watch a lot of football, so normally when I come on shows like this I have to go through stats and make assumptions about how teams play, And Mansfield are very much middle of the road for pretty much every stat possible. The only thing that really shouted out to me was your possession's quite low and your aerial duels is actually lower than Posh's, which is a surprise. How would you describe Mansfield's playing style?
I mean, at the moment, bland. It's an interesting one. Yeah, we don't have a huge amount of possession. I think the problem with the possession is that we are so reliant on key players sometimes when it comes to the possession stuff, because we've got some players that will just hold onto the ball quite happily, just knock it around a bit. But with the way that we seem to have set up, it's very much the press is very important. We've got players, our defensive players, just as an example, we've got three centre-backs and the rest are like full-backs, but they're more attacking full-backs. So they're always pushing on. And even when we're going defensively, we'll drop into this five and they'll push forward as a unit rather than... we'll soak up a bit of pressure and we'll go and nick the ball back. And it's been effective a lot this season. We've been able to get the ball from the back to the front quite effectively, and then the final product's not 100% been there. But we've not really got anybody that's got that bit of creative flair in the midfield that you'd probably think of a possession side. We've got Lewis Reed that can play a decent pass every now and again, and he's a good link-up man. Regan Hendry's been out injured for God knows how long. So that's another one. It doesn't help. And then we've got other players that it's more you get the ball into the feet and they'll whip a ball in. So you lose the possession stat because we're just constantly trying to get the ball forward and we'll play it around. And I'd rather play a crossing and have an attacking chance than just keep knocking it around for the sake of possession. This was something that came up years ago, Notts County, constantly. I think it was our game. We battered them 4-1. They had 70% possession. And they lost 4-1. So possession means absolutely nothing if you can't do anything up front with it.
And what formation do you think you'll play tomorrow? Because I've noticed that you do switch from a back four to back five quite a lot. It doesn't seem like you've settled on one particular way.
Yeah, a lot of the time it's because of injuries, to be honest. For whatever reason, we have horrific luck when it comes to injuries. We're quite fluid switching between this five and the four. It tends to be 4-3-1-2 or 4-1-2, God, whatever. And so we've got that fluidity. We can drop into a five if we need to. Lewis Reed plays that defensive mid role that can then just drop into the fifth centre back if needed. And same Deji Oshalada, who plays mostly as a centre back, we've been playing him as a defensive midfielder again, which is where he was previously in other clubs. So we've got the personnel to be able to just move things around during a game if needed, but 4-3-1-2 tends to be the formation that we tend to stick with. It gives us a bit more option, and the players that we play in that system can play more than one position. I think that's something that Nigel Clough's always wanted, is flexibility within his team. Sometimes we've played a striker at left back, and it's just Will Evans up front. He scored, what, 6-7 this season in all competitions, and every now and again, he plays at wing back if we're playing in the five. And Lucas Aikens, also a striker, plays at right wing back. It's bizarre. A lot of the time, it's because of personnel. But yeah, we've played so many different styles of football this season. It's crazy.
Yeah, I remember you guys rocking up at London Road with a number nine at centre back last season, I think, and that triggered me. triggered me beyond belief. I wanted to ask you about something that has outraged some Posh fans going into the game tomorrow, and that's this comment from TJ Roberts. £30 the Mansfield are charging us for the privilege of football tomorrow night. Is it worth that, do you reckon?
Yeah, we've got to pay the best goalkeeper in the league with something. Liam Roberts is outstanding. We've got to try and keep hold of him. In all seriousness, it's outrageous. But I think this is not just an us problem. I think this is just football in general. Barnsley was 28. Rotherham was 27. Bolton was 20-something. It was high 20s. And I think it's just, it just falls back into what your expectations are. If you, if you're not paying much to go and watch your football team, it's also like, maybe we're not going to get any investment in the team that you, you'd want. And we've invested heavily in our team recently, so at some point we have got to start putting prices up. Fortunately, we've not got the biggest ground in the world, only just shy of 10,000 with the new fourth stand being reopened again after 20 something years. But yeah, we, it's, I think it's just more of a football, a modern day football issue rather than just a Mansfield issue.
Yeah, no, I agree. But that is mental. £30 is a very expensive ticket. Cam, I want to ask then, do you think it will be worth Posh fans spending their £30 tomorrow? I want to ask for your score prediction. Are you confident going into this one? Please don't tell me it's going to be another 0-0 draw.
I'd happily take a 0-0 draw. Because we're on a, not the worst run of form, but we just can't seem to get a win for love nor money. But after how you guys performed on Saturday, I think a 0-0 draw would be quite happy with us. But I think I'm going to be positive and say Mansfield are going to win. I think it'll be like the world's worst 1-0 win for Mansfield or something. It's, I can't say Peterborough are going to win, can I? Really?
I mean, you can't. You'll see that. I mean, our predictions will come up towards the end of the episode, and we will have done that for you, I can assure you. But yeah, 1-0 then. Who's going to score the winner for Mansfield?
Oh, Oliver Iro, young lad that we've got on loan from Spurs. Very impressive player so far, I think. And I think he'll pop up with the winner.
Nice. Well, thank you very much for joining us, Cam. Give a quick shout. Where can we find Mansfield Matters? When will the episode be out reviewing, hopefully, the Posh win tomorrow night?
Brave. Facebook, YouTube. You can find us on there. And then you can find us on all good podcast platforms. You can find us live, and then you can find us Spotify, Apple Podcast, whatever that's called. But yeah, the Facebook live stream and everything. But yeah, and then I want to say it's Thursday this week. We keep changing it because we keep getting midweek fixtures. But yeah, I think it's Thursday this week. So you can review Oliver Iroh's winner on that one.
Cool. Well, thank you for joining us, Cam.
No worries, guys.
There we are. That was Cam, the Mansfield fan, talking. It's not the most positive, but also not the most negative fan we've had on Countdown to kick off this season. Very middling in terms of his ambitions. I hate, though, it happens all the time. We get fans come on and be like, yeah, we're crap at the minute, we're terrible. 1-0, we're gonna win 1-0. It happens all the time. It happened with Stevenage as well. And the worst thing is, lads, they're usually right.
Yeah, although didn't Barry from Wigan say the same thing? That they were going to steal like a 1-0 win. I'm sure that's what he predicted. And obviously we went and smashed six past them.
I hope we can do that again, because if I have to go to watch another low block team thwart Luke Williams, could be the end. Right, we're going to should we get our next Posh fan in, lads?
Yeah, let's do it.
Nathan is joining us. Nathan, how are you this evening, sir?
Yeah, good, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
It's all good. Second appearance of the season. You've come in a bit of a regular now.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it the first time. I think we lost the game that I previewed, so hopefully that bad luck doesn't carry on to tomorrow.
Yeah, well, it was a great weekend. Did you manage to see the game at the weekend?
Yeah, I was there. I thought it was brilliant from start to finish, apart from maybe a 5-minute period when they scored. I thought we switched off a bit, you know, obviously Johnston, bit of a defensive error. But I thought other than that, everyone was pretty faultless.
Yeah.
Nathan, you're at uni, right? One of the many Posh fans that are on that Derby Uni football journalism course. Yeah. How's that going for you? And what is it that you want to do once you've finished your degree?
Yeah, no, it's been brilliant. So at the minute, I believe there's three of us on the course. You've got me, Harry and Max. It's brilliant. You get so many experiences. You know, you get access into press boxes. Just to name a few, you get access into Derby, Wolves, Aston Villa, among many others. And then, you know, they have so many contacts within the industry. So, you know, it's so good. If you're a football fan, there's no better course than the one that we have there. So, in regards to what I want to do after it, I'm sort of leaning towards like the writing side of it, and then commentary as well. So, yeah, so I'm pretty set on what I want to do.
Nice. Always good to have a clear plan. And yeah, it does look like a really good fun course, very much so. Right, let's talk about this season then. So we spoke in October, did you say you were last on?
Yeah, it was early October, yeah.
Early October. So a lot has happened since then. Obviously, quite soon after you were on, we got the news that Fergie was gone, Williams was in. And what a roller coaster it's been, right?
Yeah, it's been positive, even when we've had those sort of, you know, those down periods where we lost, I think it was 4 games in a row. You know, it was hard to get even downbeat about that, because I just felt, you know, we were so lucky just to have a bit of positivity when we had obviously Darren Ferguson. It was just negative and negative, and it just felt there was no way out of it, you know. But you know, Luke has he's brought a complete different philosophy to the club, hasn't he, in terms of the way he wants to play. You know, all the players seem to be believing in it and buying into everything he wants to do. And you know, even if we don't get into the playoffs this season, there's so much to be positive about for next season. So yeah, no, I think it's really exciting times coming up.
Yeah, it's nice to hear all the optimism. I wanted to ask about Cairo Lisby. He feels like the hot topic of discussion at the minute. What are your thoughts on him and the way that he's progressed under both managers this season?
Yeah, he was always going to have a bit of a slower start, I felt, just because, you know, it's going to take time for a player to adjust to the Football League after they've only really played in non-league for a few years. But you know, after he has sort of cemented his place in the lineup, he's just been brilliant every week. You know, he's at the heart of everything we do in an attacking sense. You know, and he's involved in the goals pretty much every week now. And I just thought he was absolutely unplayable against Wigan. I think they mentioned on their preview that they would struggle still with our wingers, and that certainly proved to be the case. Obviously, with Lisby and Hayes completely tearing them apart.
Nathan, I'm going to put you on the spot. I want you to give me your player of the season so far, your signing of the season so far, and your most improved player. And that can be most improved season on season or from the start of the season to now.
I would say signing of the season has to be Tom Lees, I think, just because of what he's brought to the defence. You know, we were so shaky at the start of the season. And I think almost as soon as he came in, he just brought a bit of stability and, you know, calmness and experience. I think my most improved player would probably be Carl Johnston, because there's a lot of people who had a lot of question marks over him last season. You know, he didn't really show much last season. But I think considering he's played out of position practically all season, he's been brilliant. And even when he's having an off game, you know, he's able just to help. He's able just to, you know, help everyone through it, and, you know, be a leader in that team, which has been brilliant. And then my player of the season so far, I'll probably have to say Matt Garbett. I just think, you know, he just looks a class above, you know. And as soon as he came in, you could just tell he would slot into that midfield very well. And you know, I think in the next sort of year or two, he's going to go on to have a career way beyond us. So I think we've just got to enjoy him while we have him.
Yeah, I think they're decent shouts. Not the mainstream ones, which is interesting. CJ is definitely an interesting one. But at left back, he's done a very good job. Tomorrow night then, Mansfield away. Well, are you looking forward to it, Nathan? Because I'm kind of dreading it slightly.
Yeah, it'll be my first time there, so I've not got any sort of bad experiences there, but it's not a place we've ever done particularly well at. Obviously, I think we lost them on penalties a few years ago, then obviously the absolute battering last season. So no, but I do feel a lot more confident going into the game against them this time than I would have last season. just because, you know, what better way to go into it than a 6-1 win? But it just feels like at the minute when we get a player back, another player gets injured, and we're struggling to just get a full strength side out every week. You know, I'd love to know how many times that Luke has actually managed to get out a full strength side. I can't imagine it'd be that many. So, but it does look like we will have a fairly strong side going into it, I think. You know, it's good to have Dave back in the defence, because I think we miss him quite a lot. And obviously, I've always known Mansfield to be quite a physical side. I'm not sure they are now, but they have been. So having Dave in the defence, I think, will do us a massive favour tomorrow. I don't think we'll get as much attacking joy as we did against Wigan. So I think Mansfield are a bit more solid defensively. But I'm pretty optimistic going into it, and hopefully we can get the 3 points.
Leads me on nicely to ask you if you'd make any changes from the lineup that started against Wigan. We're obviously expecting Matt Garbutt to still be out injured, but is there any other changes that you'd make to the team?
I would keep it as it is personally. I mean, you know, you don't change your winning team, especially one that's just won by 5 goals. So, but obviously, if we need to change it, then obviously we've got the personnel on the bench. You know, obviously, I thought Pemmy was very good when he came on. Declan was pretty solid when he came on. So even if we don't get the draw that we did on Saturday, I think there is the scope to change things if needed.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. We've had Ash drop Kean Hayes, he says. I think that's harsh on Kean Hayes. Kellen says, a good point, actually. Is there an argument to bring Brandon Keller in for Donny O'Brien Brady?
I think they're two very different midfielders in that. I think in a more physical game, see, that might be a point to bring Keller in, because, you know, he's got the legs, which I don't think Donny has. And I think Donny offers us a bit more technical prowess and ability. So I think, yeah, maybe I would start Keller from the off. And then obviously, you know, obviously as the in-game situation changes, then I think Donny will be a solid option from the bench.
Nathan, you said that Matt Garbutt's been your player of the season so far. If everyone was fully fit, what would you do with the three players behind Leonard? Would you play Jimmy Jay and Matt Garbutt, or would you sacrifice one of them for a winger?
I think there's been a lot of debate over whether you can actually fit the two into the same team, because they do pretty much play a similar role. But yeah, it's difficult when you've got two such good and important players, you know, to our team. It's so difficult to drop one of them. Because obviously there's the arguments about them not working together, but then you drop one or the other and then people are also going to complain. So yeah, it's a tough one really, isn't it? But I do think that they aren't particularly brilliant together, just because of the similar role they play. But I feel like, you know, you have to try and fit them in. But, you know, obviously, if you put Garbutt out wide, you're sort of reducing his impact on the game. So, yeah, it's a difficult one, really.
Yeah, it's a good problem to have, though. A very good problem to have. The other sort of question I was going to ask you is, do you see a way back for Peter Kyoso? Obviously, CJ did make that error at the weekend. Is there any chance you think we see him tomorrow night?
I don't think we'll see him in from the off tomorrow night, but I think he will have a part to play over the next 3 games, especially, you know, it's a pretty tight schedule over the next sort of week or two. So I would imagine, I think he may start maybe next Tuesday. I think Donnelly will keep his place for the next two. And then depending on how he's doing in the lead up to the Barnsley game, I would maybe bring Kyoso in. But, you know, I think James, you know, he's also been massively improved this season, along with Johnson. So, you know, it's hard to say to drop him, you know, but obviously if he's struggling with his fitness after the next couple of games, then I think Kyoso will have a big part to play, I would say.
Yeah, well, I guess that basically covers everything. You've given a very nice, concise summary of pretty much all of your thoughts on Posh. So thank you for that. I'm going to ask then the question that we always ask. Score predictions. How are you feeling? Is it going to be another miserable night against a low block physical team?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be one that we'll run away with completely, you know, just because of how, you know, compact and defensively sound they are. So I'll probably go for a 1-0 win. And I would probably say I'll go for Cairo Elizabeth to score again, just because he's in such a good vein of form at the minute. It's hard to bet against him.
That would be limbs, I think they say. That would be quality. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Nathan. Do you want to shout anything out, any social media or any articles you're writing for uni or anything?
Yeah, so I'm on Twitter, where I post sort of all the work that I do at uni, you know, including stuff within it and outside. So that is Nathan Waller, FJ in capitals. So if anyone wants to go give that a follow and check anything out, that'd be really appreciated.
Cool. Well, I will definitely be doing that after this stream. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, Nathan.
Thank you, guys.
See you later. Right. Lods, we've had the comments sort of flowing in since the start. Shall we go back to the start of them and just work our way through?
Well, I want to bring this one up off the bat. Hope there's a plan with the advertising boards tomorrow after the last two games there. Now, I wasn't there last season. Did we play them? We played them during the week.
Yeah, it was a Wednesday night. Didn't we?
Were they bright then as well?
I don't know. I wasn't there either. But it was a summer's night, so I don't think it would have been as bad. But so, that first time we were there.
That cup game, I genuinely, it gave me a migraine. I don't get migraines very often, but that was some serious pain in my head going on that I fully blame the advertising boards for. And I went down during the first half and there was a group of people complaining to the stewards and they said, oh, we get complaints all the time. And I had to take some paracetamol off one of the fans because honestly, I could barely see. It was that bad.
Yeah, it was horrific. It's an element of Mansfield I always forget. But yeah, it was like not only just like horrible and headachy and eyesore to actually look at, but you also just couldn't see what was going on. Like they got a penalty right up the other end towards the end, didn't they? And literally just nobody had any idea what had happened.
It was that flashing white one as well, wasn't it?
Like, yeah.
It went on a cycle and you just knew that the flashing white one was coming up. And I was looking at the pitch like this, like preparing myself. Yeah, awful.
Yeah, that was very bad. Can't quite name it factor potentially for the away day ratings tomorrow night if they haven't fixed that. Right, we'll go back to the start of these comments. Up the posh from Dublin, Ireland. We had a lot of Ireland talk tonight. If your question has been answered by someone else in the chat, I'm not going to put it up. Don't take it personally. Fleetwood Zach has taken another chance to take a swipe at my barber. Every week, you making out you're a nice guy, as Roy Keane said to Patrick Vieira. Stop picking on my hair, man. Let it
Charlie,
grow.
What do you go for? Like, you must have a barber at uni, right? You're not going home to get your hair cut every time.
Well, I've been to a barber at uni once and then been home every other time. I've had my hair cut probably three times.
You need to tell everyone watching and listening. What do you ask for when you go into the barber?
Okay, right. Let's role play it. Imagine I'm sat in the chair. He goes, you know, what are we asked? What are you looking for? Actually, he usually goes, do you want the usual? Because he now knows.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So now I go to the same guy every time. But if it's a, you know, a new person, I'd go for a 4 on the back and sides. Just to like, basically, yeah, a 4 on the back of sides, getting nice and short. And then I basically say, good luck with the front, because I've got like, I don't know all the technical hair words, but I've got like a big cow's lick and a double crown or whatever it's called. You know, all these fancy terms that the hairdressers use to excuse themselves for not doing a very good job with my barnet. So, yeah, I don't know. I just go, just cut the fringe to about here and then they just do it. And yeah.
Follow-up question, how much do you pay for that?
I think at home I pay £16, I think. At uni I paid £20, or like £22. But I accidentally went to, I have this app called Fresher. I don't know if anyone else used it, but I accidentally went to like the fanciest barbers in Sheffield, like just completely inadvertently, like a proper snob. Like they were giving me the proper treatment in there. So I will be going back there, I can assure you.
Accidentally yeah. Went to the poshest one in Sheffield. Accidentally. Yeah, yeah. Okay, Charlie.
So David says, can we win at Mansfield? They don't concede goals. We need to get an early goal and play like we did Sat V Wigan from David. Yeah, it does feel like that. It feels like the longer the game goes on, we could have a Stevenage situation on our hands, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm a bit concerned because every time we go into a game and don't get that early goal, we're chasing our tails pretty much for the full 90. Mansfield have quite a good defensive record. I know he said that they've got four draws, but in those four games, they've only conceded twice. So they might be a difficult team to break down, and they're obviously going to be expecting us to come at them fast as well, aren't they? Scoring six goals at the weekend, they'll be sitting back and waiting to see what we do. So it could be a tough one. We could be watching a scrappy 0-0 affair for the first 70 minutes quite easily.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be really quite jarring to watch, I think, the game. Like, it is going to be a difficult one. But I think if we score early, it'll be fine. It'll be a good test, won't it? Because Mansfield, home and away, absolutely schooled us last season, didn't they? They just absolutely bullied us. And if we go there and we compete a bit better and we look like we can match them both physically and technically, then at least it's a sign of progress, I guess. But I'm really hoping for the win.
The good news is that most teams schooled us both home and away last season. So I don't think Mansfield are anything special.
Yeah, I agree. I have no idea what some of these comments from Scotty mean, so I'm not going to pull them up. But Scotty, apparently I pour a good pint of cider.
Charlie, do you not notice these comments? You've obviously been on the last few Gamp Town to kickoffs. Scotty's in the comments every week talking about this pint that you pull. I assume you did some part-time work when you were back home, didn't you? In one of your labs. I assume one of Scotty's mates has gone in there and bought a pint and recognised you and told Scott. I think that's what's happened there.
Can I just say to Scotty's mate, if you didn't introduce yourself to me, you're a bit of a weirdo. Like, why are you... Oh, I've just been served by Chas McPosh. Just say hello. Like, we can have a chat. I don't remember any one of Scotty's mates coming up to me. What else have we got? Terrified of the comments, Chaz from Fleetwood Zach.
Charlie, are you making any changes to the team tomorrow?
Am I making any changes? It could be time for Kyoso, I'm gonna be honest. I think his athleticism could be necessary in a game like tomorrow night, and I'd actually drop Carl Johnston for him. Not because I don't like CJ, but because I worry for him. This is a very Lincoln-ish game, and I worry that he might get ragdolled again a little bit at the back post by some of their big lads.
Are you playing James Dornelli left back or Peter Kyoso left back in that situation?
It's a tough one, isn't it? Because JD traditionally is like, you should really put the younger, less experienced one on his favoured side. But this season, he's been much more reliable than PK. So, you know what? I'd probably put Peter Kyoso on the left because I also think that he might have a really good connection with Cairo Lisby. I could see him building up like a Poku-style relationship where his dummy runs will build up that space for Lisby. So I think I'd move him over to the left.
I've left this comment on the screen, but we've not actually addressed it yet. By fidget spinner, Ashley does mean Declan Frith. So Ashley is suggesting playing Declan Frith over Kean Hayes. I don't know if that's the right thing to do or not. I actually think I would play, if Matty Garbutt was fit, I think I'd play him tomorrow with Jimmy J. Which is a strange one because I was one of the ones that was against playing them together. But I think we're going to be relying on a bit of creativity. And I think the issue you get with Kean Hayes is you're relying on direct running with the ball a bit too much rather than that pass that's going to unlock the defence.
Yeah, I think I do agree. But I agree that we're going to need to be creative, but I disagree that playing Garbutt and Morgan together does that, because I remember Stevenage, right, and I was waving, we recorded Final Whistle in the car, and I had my hands all over the gaff trying to explain why I don't think they work in games where they're going to try and make it compact Right. The pitch is four quarters, right? Imagine these are the four quarters. When we play Garbutt and Jimmy J, we only utilize three of those four quarters because this right quarter, very rarely used to effect when we've got no natural width on that side. So I would, if Garbutt was fit, I would be playing him. But you know where I'd play him? I mean, he's definitely not fit, right? That's like confirmed.
Is it confirmed? All we know that he wore a moon boot.
Yeah, he wore a moon boot. Apparently today, I wouldn't surprise me if we saw him in the team. But also, he probably won't play. But I would play him next to Archie Collins as a six because I don't think we're going to need a massively midfield presence in the game. I think we're just going to need as much creativity as humanly possible. And so that's why I'd put Garbutt in there to sort of just try and unlock them. And Archie can just sit and literally just put out fires and let Garbutt and Jimmy J just wreak havoc.
Why haven't we played Garbutt a bit deeper? Every time we play him, it's either sort of in the 10 or on the wing. We've occasionally played him a little bit deeper alongside O'Brien Brady or Keller or Woods, but we've never played him behind Jimmy J, have we?
No, not really. I just think maybe because, I guess it's partly because of how many like 6/8 star midfielders we have in the squad. Obviously, Keller, Woods, Collins, Donne, there's four. So to pick Garbutt over all four of them in that position would be kind of crazy for Williams to do. But also, like, there's certain games where where Garbutt in being in midfield would definitely like strip us of some solidity. But I just don't think Mansfield are going to be particularly expansive and, you know, attacking enough to warrant us needing two midfielders sitting as the bedrock. I just don't think it's going to be necessary at all.
I said it a few months ago. It's exactly the same with England and Jude Bellingham, isn't it? Where you try and squeeze him in, but then you're swapping him out for another talented player and people are saying, oh, I'll just play him next to Rice. But then it's like, does it really work? It's basically the same thing, isn't it?
It very much is the same thing. Very much so. Oh, my God. The chat are, again, honestly, it's always, why always me? So, Kellen, listen, the big three in Sheffield for me, they're next to each other. It's West Street. You've got Molly Malone's, which is a good place to either pre or finish the night. Then you've got Tiger Works, which is a little bit of a underrated one. A lot of people hate on Tiger Works, but I like it. And then West Street Live, which is obviously West Street Live is West Street Live, isn't it? And then you've obviously got Foundry, which is the student club, which is actually good. Jake's in the chat again. Hello, Jake. How are you, mate? Can both teams lose? No. Although I've seen you've predicted us to lose on your podcast last night. And you know what, Jake? Just you better hope Lincoln get promoted, mate. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say to you from now on. Jake, if anyone knows, is a Lincoln fan. I don't know how that comment's come up because I didn't pull it up. So I guess Lods has a...
Charlie, on the screen. Any females?
I'm not discussing my personal life on this. This is about football, you know. Football, haircuts, goal celebration. I don't know what to do with my hands now. Funny. Anyway, yes, I agree. Kellen, West Street Live is class. You can get a skibbity wrist bomb for like £1, a 6-7 shot for like £1.50. You've got the Guna bombs. They've all just got like brain rot names, but they are very cheap, very alcoholic. And yeah, Sheffield is like the second most affordable student night out in the country, I think, based on some survey. But yeah, get yourself down to West Street Live and get a skibbity riz bomb down you. That'll be my advice. Oh God. And I've set the chat off. Right, we're doing predictions.
Wait, I've got one more question. What is skibbity riz?
So riz is charisma. Riz is short for charisma. And it's basically your ability to, but charisma specifically pertaining to your ability to make the opposite sex swoon and, you know, attract, endear yourself to them. Riz. And then Skibbity is sort of just, it's an intensifier. So as far as I know, Skibbity is a bit like 6-7, where it doesn't really mean a lot, but you can add Skibbity to something to intensify the meaning of it. So if I've got Riz, you know, I'm decent. I'm a little bit of a, you know, I put in the work, put in the hours. If I've got Skibbity Riz, I am, you know, I'm Casanova or something.
So you've
like
got
that.
Like blue section, back wall pounders, Skibbity back wall pounders.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly how it works. Yeah.
Got it.
Right, let's stop talking about Skibbity Riz and let's get on to the score prediction. So I'm going to pull them up and talk them through everyone's, else's and mine. And then, Lods, you can talk us through yours. So Ashley has gone for 1-0 Posh Brandon Keller. Harry has gone for 3-2 Posh Archie Collins. John has gone for 1-1 Harry Leonard. Lods has gone for 1-0 Kean Hayes. Max has gone for 1-0 Mansfield. Boo! I've gone for 3-2 Posh Declan Frith. Now, I'll explain that in a moment. What I would like to quickly point out is, it feels like one of the first times in a while where we've all had different first goal scorers. Usually there's a little bit of samey Harry Leonard, Cairo Lisby. But no, we've gone for something a bit different. And so my prediction basically came about. I was at a bar last night, or it was like a mix between a pub and a bar, student bar. And I got a message from Ash being like, do your score prediction for the game. And I thought to myself, well, we won 6-1 yesterday. There is no way on earth that any prediction I give is going to be sensical. It would have been like 4-0 Posh, 4-1 Posh. So I was like, what I can do is, I had one of my good friends sat next to me. So I asked her, I just gave her my phone and said, listen, you pick the score, pick the first goal scorer, I'll submit it. And if you're right, kudos to you. So yeah, that's what happened. A girl did the predictions for me, one of my good friends. And that's, yeah. So 3-2 Posh Declan Frith is what she went for. So if it comes true, then I guess she's a visionary. Lods, explain your prediction for everyone.
Yeah, so I didn't get, I didn't use Skibbity Riz to get my prediction submitted. I used my own mind. And what did I go for? 1-0. I've not even remembered. I've gone for 1-0 Posh. Similar to what I said earlier, really. You can't really go from scoring six to then scoring another six, can you? It's just not going to work like that. I think Mansfield will sit back. I think they'll be hard to break down. I do think we'll win. I think they'll be bad in attack. So I don't think they'll have anything going for them. And I've gone for Kean Hayes just because predicting Harry Leonard to score first every week is boring. Unless you're John that finds that interesting. I like to mix it up a little bit. And Kean Hayes has started the last couple of games. I think he's due a goal. I think he's going to get it tomorrow.
Yeah, I agree. I actually do agree. Just to let you know, I do not think Declan Frith will start. Although Luke Williams did call him magical or something like wondrous, or he used one of his very nice adjectives to describe Declan Frith in the interview today about his back heel, and was very pleased with his impact. Although it was a bit of narrow, like shallow praise. He was like, yeah, it was great, because he managed to stay focused the entire time he was on, which is like implying that that's like what he can't do that usually, which is, yeah, it's not the best praise.
Can I tell you my favorite part of Williams's interview?
Go for it.
I think it was one of the first things he said. It was the one that was posted today, not his post-match. I think he was asked about the game on Saturday and, you know, 6-1 win. Like, how good is that? And the first thing he said was, oh, yeah, but it's bittersweet because the Wigan manager lost his job.
Yeah.
Honestly, how nice is Luke Williams that he's sad for the Wigan manager? Like,
he's like, he's the League Managers Association manager, isn't he? Like, he honestly, yeah. Every time he's on there, it's just glazing other managers and telling them how well they're doing. He must be very well liked.
Ryan Lowe's gone to the union and Luke Williams is his representative.
Yeah. I'm not bringing up any of these comments about me or Skibbity Riz, so you can, you know, say what you like. Ash is just, Ash needs to be timed out. This is why we need moderators for Countdown to Kickoff.
I think this is why Ashley hosts, just so he doesn't get in the comments.
Yeah, genuinely. Kellen Sarson says Luke Williams has Riz. Luke Williams does have Riz, you know. I think he definitely does.
Does he have Skibidi Riz, though?
I guess that's yet to be seen. If we win at Mansfield, he may have Skibidi Riz. But I... why? What is going on? I'm not answering it. Anyway, anything else? No, Fleetwood Zach. I'm not bringing up your comments about my haircuts either.
Do you want to have a quick chat about the backwall pounders, or do you reckon we've done that enough?
I just think the thing with the backwall pounders is there's been enough backlash for them now that the backwall pounders, I think, will be feeling really ashamed of themselves. You know, they will look at their actions at the weekend and see, you know, there's been a big public outcry about, you know, their behaviour. And I think the backwall pounders just, they just need to take a long hard look at themselves and just think, okay, what are we actually doing here? Because if they want to come and support the team, then do it. But, you know, you don't have to do it by breaking seats or by stealing signs from the back of the GH. And we saw the supporter liaison officer put a tweet out basically confirming what we said on the episode. And it's really disappointing because, you know, just a big, the Blackpool Pounders are currently just a big blemish on what's really positive stadium stuff at the minute, isn't it?
Yeah, it was not a nice thing inside the ground when, you know, they were singing songs about the blue section. And we said it on Saturday night, it was a minority. And it's strange to see them all sort of come out the next day and some have denied any involvement with like the breaking of the seats and the signs. Some have said that it was nothing to do with them. And there was one in the comments on our final Westwood episode that said that the breaking the seats was funny. And then smartly deleted the comment because I think he would have had a whole load of people replying saying you're an idiot. But it's nice to see that after they sort of maybe not ganged up, but they've outnumbered the blue section, haven't they? So when they're having their little sing songs, they're always going to be louder than the blue section. Not that the blue section was singing back at them, but it's nice that, you know, the next day when that came out from the liaison officer, that, you know, and posh fans all sort of ganged up on them and said, that's a disgrace to the club. You're an embarrassment. You need to get banned. Because, yeah, there's a line, isn't there? And they've crossed it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And it just always seems to be the backwall pounders that cross that line and take it way too far. And it's just, I'm getting fed up with it. I think there'll be some serious bans coming out now, which is good. The club are fed up of it too. And so the culprits, unfortunately, fortunately for us, but unfortunately for them, they are going to get, you know, caught and they're going to get banned. And if they actually do support the club, then well done. Like, congratulations, you're an idiot because you've just got your hobby taken off you for, you know, a season and a half, maybe even three seasons. And for what, you know? Very, very bizarre situation. I don't know why. What would ever go through someone's head where they want to do damage to any just property, but especially their own club stadium? Mental, absolutely mental.
I hope the club are very public with how many people they've banned and their ages and exactly the crimes they committed. I hope they're very like, I hope they post on all the social media accounts. I hope it gets shared a lot because they need to be made an example of, because there are young fans that go to games that probably do find that fun, but like I said, they're crossing a line. They need to know that that's not acceptable. And I think the only way to do that, when you're in that moment and, you know, there's peer pressure, all people that you look up to are all breaking seats around you, it's easy to join in, isn't it? But if you're then going on social media and seeing that people are being banned for 3 years for exactly that, then you might think twice next time.
Yeah, I mean, and I hope there is some collective responsibility next time we're in the GH, where if you see people doing behavior like that, just tell them to stop, get a steward. It's not snitching. I don't care. If you see people being dicks, then just get them kicked out. But other than that, I think we're pretty much there, lads. Adebisi, bad news for him. Another setback. But a setback for Adebisi, but some positive news. Harley Mills coming back quicker than we were expecting, I think. So the left back situation slowly resolving itself, but Oh, poor Rio.
I can't keep up with Adebisi's setbacks. I know it was posted in the chat earlier on, and I sort of read it, and I was like, "What am I reading here? Like, this isn't news." I didn't realize that we hadn't announced that he'd had a setback, because, you know, it's been a while. When was the last time we saw him warming up at Lincoln? He hasn't played under 21 since then, has he? Even though I think twice Dara said that he was going to be at the beginning of this year. So I just thought it was a given that he'd had a setback. I thought that was like a month ago that happened, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, poor Rio. We hope to see him at some point. But yeah, I guess that's basically it. So thank you to everyone who's been kind in the comments tonight. Frick you to everyone who's been horrible. Yeah, get your score predictions in to the NLBC Predictions League. There's the detail. We'll let it scroll one last time. www.uptheposhcast.com/NLBC-predictions-league. Get them in, get involved. Prizes every month, cash prize end of the season. It's all very much, very, very much to be played for. So, yeah, that's it. Thank you. And we will see you for Final Whistle on Wednesday morning, lads. Will that be out?
Yes. It'll be myself and Ashley in Ashley's car. And then hopefully, if everything goes well, we'll get that posted for Wednesday morning.
Yeah, so you can never question the commitment. We have got 3 away games in 7 days. It's been an absolute logistical nightmare to try and plan recordings for Final Whistles, but we will have an episode to you after every game regardless. So thank you to everyone who's joined us tonight. Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.